Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. Put another log on a fire. That's what Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings, Jesse Colder, and Tom Paul Glaser, they used to sing that all the time. That was one of our favorite songs. And that's what we're talking about, putting another log on the fire, because it's
Let it be warm when we get home.
Yeah, it's the end of November, and we're looking at wintertime fishing. And the only thing Greg and I know is we're going with this guy right here in the middle, and we're going to let him put the baits on. Because he's a minnow dipper.
Yeah, my hands get numb.
Yeah.
Can't even feel the minnow. Here, Lance, lay the bait.
I like when they bite mine and not his, and I'm like, hey, you put that on, I'll take care of the fish.
Take this off, too, if you want.
Wintertime fishing. Yeah. The water's going to clear up. We had a bunch of rain earlier on, so now we're looking at water temperatures that are in that 50-degree range. And that's really getting into that range where spider rigging's good, don't you think?
Yeah.
Where it really, really gets
it's
good.
It's really where it kicks off. I mean, that December month is just, I mean, and on, it's just fun, and it goes pretty, really consistent, pretty good.
Would you skip a day of crappie fishing? A morning of crappie fishing with little or no wind, and you had the baits, and skip that to go to one of the Arkansas basketball games? I'd go crappie fishing.
My wife asked me today if I wanted to go.
Oh, I'm just curious. Calipari's there.
Basketball or football? She goes to football.
Yeah, she'll do the football.
Yeah, we're talking basketball.
That's what I say.
I wouldn't skip it. I'd work a fishing trip somewhere around. I'm going to go that
that's
tomorrow
pretty good.
Or something. I'll go, but I'm going to go fish tomorrow.
Oh, all right.
You know, I don't want to skip fishing. That's my therapy.
So you're going to be spider rigging in these cold winter months.
Yeah.
And Greg, what are you going to do? Catch these fish? It's cold.
I do some spider rigging, but I have a tendency of grabbing the old single pole and just go chase them roamers. Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm doing. I'm chasing roamers. I know right where I'm going, right over there. If I don't have to burn a gallon of gas, if I burn more gas in my boat than my truck to get to the ramp, that means I've gone somewhere. Otherwise, it means that I've probably used a half a gallon of gas to get to where I'm going in my boat.
I like those kind of days.
I mean, I'm that way too. I'm not going very far.
It's cold. I don't want to run nowhere.
No, 30 miles.
Yep. Yeah.
So how do you start spider rigging when the water's cold? Where do you know where to start in the creek? How do you know how far back and how deep?
Well, I'll drop my side scan. I mean, I'll look at my side scan as I'm idling around. Uh-huh. And once I start, I call it stars, you know. You see the little dots. You know, sometimes when it gets... I mean, when the fish, they're just...
He's got a hummingbird.
Yeah, got the hummingbird. Making.
Right.
So, you know, once I start seeing dot after dot after dot, why keep looking, you know, and just put them out, you know. But a lot of times it won't be till you get halfway back, and then I'll start there, you know. But, I mean, I might see them all earlier, deeper part, but I like to fish shallow. And it's just what I like to do, but you probably won't see those as many. But I know they're there
just
from
previous
years.
Give him a couple hours for that 12-foot. He's in 5-foot.
Yeah, but I mean it. I just like to catch them shallow. But I know they're there. But I might even not see them. But I mean, just previous years, I just know they're going to be there.
Right.
But I mean, I'll usually still run my side scan when I'm going in to know exactly where I need to start in the creek arm.
How about you, Greg, when you're single pole?
Well, single pole, and I just catch them out in, you know, out in the middle of the lake.
But how do you know which part of the lake to start at? I mean, I start where I start normally because I got to go by it.
Right.
But other people drive all the way from Rogers. They get to the ramp, and then they drive 8
well,
miles
a lot of times
or 8
I come
miles
from Hickory
down.
Creek because it's just
you just start there.
Yeah, I'll start there and kind of get on a. I mean, if you get on a kind of a pattern that they're in certain depths of water and on a flat with very little structure or brush piles or whatever, if I do need to make a move, I just go to the resemblance of that water to the next stop and the next stop until I find them. And I'll do it like he does a lot. As I'm pulling into an area that I think that they might be in,
right,
I watch the side scan. And if I can find them on side scan or on regular sonar, either way, I drop the trolling motor and we're fishing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, as a general rule in the wintertime, you might find a few that's staging in 20 foot of water, but a lot of times we go down to 15, 12 foot of water and catch them anywhere from 2 foot under the surface to three. It's really kind of weird because a lot of times, you'd think on a real nice, pretty sunny day, boy, we're going to have this. Today's the day. We need to be there.
Uh-huh.
No. Mm-hmm. I'd rather have the old cloudy. I'd rather
have a heavy cloud.
The nastier the weather, the better it is. I don't know why that is, but it's just, I don't know. It's in the same way probably with you.
Mm-hmm. I like cloudy days.
You take an old cloudy, and that's why I like the morning so well, is because you can go out there and you can fish
three hours
you ever get good sunlight on the water.
Right.
And a lot of times we'll have a fair amount of fish before that hits.
And when you're roaming, like last year I found a lot of times when they were roaming and I was out fishing roaming fish, I'd find a individual lay down.
Right.
And sometimes the smaller the lay down, the better the fish were. And sometimes it'd be stacked and you could get multiples. But a lot of times you get that first one and then, you know, it's just
well, and most generally, too, even if you find them roaming and not on the structure, you'll be fishing along just catching single fish here and there.
Right.
And then all at once you'll see a whole wad of 10 or 12 of them come through. And if you can stay with them, just like him with spider rigging, if he has a group of them come through and he gets his baits in there, he's going to catch half of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
You can kind of track them down with spider rig.
Yeah, a
group.
Yeah, I'll stay with them. If I'm panning, I see them, I'll go at them and stay with them while I'm still. I'll move poles, juggle poles over to try to keep right. fish on them. You know, and I might end up having six poles with no baits on them and six fish flopping in the floor because I got to just. But I'll try to stay with them while I'm rebaiting too, you know, right. And it's kind of hard because you got trolling motor, you know, it's when you need a partner. It's about time I call Greg. I'm like, God, I wish you were with me. So, you know,
get deer season behind it.
Yeah.
Be ready.
Yeah.
You need to put those in a cooler though. Don't let them flop around on your floor. That's unhealthy.
Man, he likes to slime in the floor, man. Yeah. He just loves his. He likes to step out on the floor barefooted and then just come up between his toes. You know,
he does.
I'll eventually get him. I'll eventually get him in there. I just like to get everything baited before I get
the
up.
The day he brings his boat home and parks it in the garage at his mom's house. And it doesn't stink, she'll know that he has not had a good day.
That's right. I'm thinking he should build a chute. You know, like a tube, like a PVC tube that goes from his steering
wheel. That right there will work.
There it is. It's my B&M. It's time for me to fill that back up again. They need to send me another tube. You need that tube? In your boat.
Yeah, that would work perfect. I was thinking just like put it right there to the cooler.
PVC. I was thinking a PVC with an elbow that goes back to your live well, and you just drop them in there. And you don't even have to walk back
there. I could probably jerry-rig that right there.
You're going to have to fight the grandkids for that one. wrestle them down.
That's a big
deal. You know, there's two of them now, so
you
have to catch fish to feed them. That's for sure.
Yeah.
You're moving around. You're looking and you're looking for fish.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said earlier on, it's the bite is there in the wintertime. Is there certain colors that work better for lures in the winter time for you? See, we can say like Beaver Lake and Table Rock, Bullshoals, all those are about the same recipe.
Yeah, like
red and white.
And in the wintertime, too, we red always white. Seem to have a little color, you know, stain. Yeah, so I like the whites.
Whites. All right.
Yellow and white.
Yellow and white. Pink and white. I like pink and white and yellow and red and white.
I mean, they work real well. And then, of course, some of your old traditional black and chartreuse to red and chartreuse. I like purple and stained water as well. Browns, purples.
Have you changed your jig size to like an 1/8 ounce? When the water gets colder, you're in 50 degrees.
I don't throw anything smaller than an 1/8 in the wintertime hardly.
Right. 1/8 to 1/4. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you're going still with a light. With the light,
I'll usually use it 3/8 to 1/2 ounce rig. Just depends on what depth of water and wind conditions. But, and then I'll put if I do jigs, I'll put just a 1/16 ounce, you know, a scope eye,
jig.
And then in a tube and tip it with the minnow, you know.
Yeah.
Just
that tipping. That one day we were out there and we started tipping, we started catching them.
Yeah.
And we had like one tube on 4 rods on one side, and that was the one they were biting. They wouldn't bite the other ones.
Yeah. Right. And, I mean, sometimes if it's doing that, I'll put them in a jig, I'll start kind of just put them on. I'll just put them on the hook. I won't even worry about doing the jig.
The squirrel tail jigs work pretty good in the wintertime, too.
Yeah.
Is that a hair jig?
Squirrel.
It's a hair tape.
Mr. Williams ties them with squirrel hair. Squirrel tails.
Mr. Williams.
Kent Williams is his name. He's from East Arkansas. He's from Blible. He's over from where I'm from.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
yeah, he ties them from red.
He does like a red white
squirrel,
feather.
Fox squirrels and grays.
Yeah.
Oh.
And there's the colors of the hair is just a little different.
Mm-hmm. And it's a real small jig, I take it.
16.
It's about 2 inches long.
Oh, all right.
I mean, he can put it however long you want it, but it's still about size 2 hook on it. This usually covers the whole hook.
Yeah, it does real well on spider rigging.
Mm-hmm. I would have had a tail for him because this summer one of these squirrels were up there and we heard this big bang and our electricity went off and I walked over there and squirrel was laying on the bottom. On the transformer. My neighbor said, well, you should save that squirrel for the thing. And I said, when I flipped that squirrel over, he was just burned. The whole backside of him was just burned up. And I'm like, probably not. It probably smelled pretty
bad.
I
stink too.
Yeah. But you're tipping minnows.
Yeah, I still tip it with a minnow.
On that squirrel, huh?
That are tubes. Mm. Yeah.
That are tubes.
Mm-hmm. The squirrel tails are similar to, the squirrel would be similar to your bunny butt. When it gets it gets in the water, it'll have a tendency to puff out instead of staying stuck together.
Yeah, those marabou jigs get real hot too. I mean, a lot of people start buying them. You'll see that at like Southtown, and Southtown will have like cards and cards of them. And people will be like, I'll be in there watching them buy, and I'll be like, that dude expects to either get in a brush pile
or lose a lot of them
somehow. Brush piles in the okay. So now we're at 50 degrees. Brush piles. Yay. No. Thumbs up. Thumbs down.
Brush piles can be good.
If I see them, if I see fish on it, I'll go at it. But
you won't go above them or over them.
Now with LiveScope, I can see them. I don't know how deep to put my poles. You know, but.
But if you're in 8 foot of water, they ain't got, that's pretty skinny. Much,
yeah, you know, I've caught them in 4 foot.
Right.
You know, with going over tree, you know, like stumps or you know, with branches on them and stuff. I mean, Greg's been with me. I'm like, there's one back here in 4 foot. I said, just reel up where your top man is out of the water.
Jeez.
And I'll just take us right to swimming. And then he'll just, the bottom man is probably 2 feet down in the water, and we'll just go right over the top of it, and it'll just pull it down, you know. And then you got to let all that line out.
Swing him in.
And rely on a good net man, or, you know.
Yeah, you can put him in skyrocket mode if you're not careful.
Pick him up.
Especially if it's got a big old mouth on it, you know. Because it'll get you excited.
How about brush piles for when you get off those roamers, you see that brush pile and it's loaded, loaded with crappie.
You just drop your jig right down on it, 8 ounce.
Trouble is, most of them just seem small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On those dang piles. But
if you'll get to looking, though, especially in the wintertime, your better fish should be, whether there's just one or two, might just be one or two, but they'll be on the other end of it. They separate themselves from the little fish.
Uh-huh.
Or they'll be below them.
I'm
the little ones
left.
Will be
I'm
up
below.
Here at the top, and you're a bigger fish. Of course, if that's the case, you got to get through all the little ones to keep from hitting your jig to get to the bigger one. But if you can get on that bigger fish, he'll eat, and it's usually a good fish.
I've been using the round ball head, unpainted bronze hooks that Mitch sells, and they're really cheap, and you get like 10 in a pack. I'll put a pointer shad on it, and I go, this one's a sacrifice because I can see him in there, and I'll go down, I go. But I've been putting that on the anniversary rod. And that's how I've been getting down. I get over top of them because usually if they're buried in there, they won't move, it seems like.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like there's, oh, they think they're safe, but they don't realize someone's on top there that's got an endless supply of jig heads. Right, Mitch? Endless? Well, as long as they're the unpainted ones.
Yeah.
Because they're inexpensive. So, I mean, that's the way to go. If there's one key to catching these wintertime fish, when the water gets to that 50 degrees, what would it be?
Bring minnows and go slow.
Oh, bring minnows and go slow.
Go move slow.
Yep. And how about on roamers and it's 50 degrees and
drag out the old pole, long pole, and hold it right over the top of his head, and he's going to eat if he's going to eat.
All right. Yeah, I agree with all that stuff. I like the idea.
I don't do as well with the casting rods because you're constantly having to move your jig.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you drop it down there and you just hold it still.
I started really liking that 18-foot B&M rod because on a pitch on I was getting like 32 feet last year on a pitch, and it was like, dude, that's way out there.
Yeah.
Like, and then, like you say, you can –
As a general rule, I like to get them in that about 18, 16-foot range on my scope.
Right.
And just take that long rod. You don't have to pitch it very far and just get it, and you can get it right on top of him and just hold it. And I use bait caster on mine because I can control my line. So I keep line in my hand all the time.
Right.
So if I need to shorten it or longer, I'll just hit the thumb bar and pull a line out and pitch it. So I like using the bait caster reels.
Or those big 16, 18 footers. They work so good for that.
Exactly.
Yep. Mm. All right. Well, that takes us to Tackle Time. Tackle Time sponsored by Pico Lures. Pico Lures has a complete line of hard and soft baits. You can go out there and catch crappie. You can catch bass. You can catch walleye, which they'll be fired up, at least here on Beaver Lake, shortly. And all the game fish that are out there swimming, go to picolures.com. Lance, if they want to find out more, go fishing with you. Find out about how to use those minnows when it gets cold.
Yeah, you can look me up on Facebook at Lance Huey or Lance Huey Crappie Guide Service. Or my phone number also is 479-236-4105. That's probably the best way to get a hold of me.
I think you need to change your guide service name to My Hands Are Cold. But during four months, I look forward
to this time of year. I mean, when my hands get cold, I look forward to it.
You'll get older. You get over
last
that.
Year, boy. I broke my fingers. That's when Greg had to reach in the middle bucket.
That was getting serious.
It was.
Greg's trying to figure out how he can peg
on
him.
His finger. And he's
like, oh my gosh, dog.
That was a work injury, too, wasn't it?
No, I was working out. I was actually at
that's
the gym.
What I'm saying. It was a work injury. You got to get this right if you want to get workman's comp. You need to get that right. Jeez. Greg, if they want to get hold of you and hear you talk about how to keep your hands warm while you're catching roamers,
put your hands in the pocket. That's right. Greg, Facebook with Greg Robinson or Greg's Guide Service, and 479-601-1683.
There you go. There you have it. Like I always like to say, keep your hook sharp and your lures in the water.